A number of years ago, I was listening to a debate between two very well-credentialed New Testament scholars, and the debate was surrounding on the degree to which the New Testament manuscripts had been reliably transmitted over the years. A manuscript would be a copy of one of the original Gospels. And so if you've ever heard anything about this, when Luke wrote the Gospel that we've been hearing from tonight, he would have written it on papyrus. And papyrus is of a plant made, a substance, and papyrus or papyri degrade over time. And so the early church would employ scribes, and they would copy these manuscripts for distribution all throughout the Roman Empire. And over the years, many scribes from time to time might inadvertently miss a word, or they might unintentionally omit a line, or they might unintentionally duplicate a line. But you need to know the accuracy with which the Bible has been faithfully transmitted over the last 2,000 years is astounding. Well, in the context of this debate, one of the scholars said, he acknowledged that the vast majority of manuscript issues don't amount to any doctrinal change to Christianity. Even if there was a transcription error here or there, it has no impact on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It really has no impact to anything of significance. And the other scholar responded, well, there is one place. There's one place where two verses were added that were not in the original text, and it does change a bit of the meaning and various dimensions of what's going on. And the two verses that the scholar said were not in Luke's original are printed before you now. This was the first time I had heard about this. Let me read from verses 39 through 44 of Luke chapter 22. And he came out, Jesus, and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The following are the two verses that he would indicate Luke did not write. And there appeared to him, to Jesus, an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he began to give a defense of this, that in one of the earliest manuscripts, it's called P75, and that just means Papyrus 75. It's the 75th manuscript that they had indexed. And he said, because those two verses are not in one of the earliest manuscripts, and also this kind of emotional anguish is thrust into the text, it's not in the original. So he says it interrupts the flow, and it's not in one of the earliest manuscripts. So according to this scholar, why was it added in, according to him? Spoiler alert, it's definitely in there. We're going to get to that, okay? So Sally, she just breathed a sigh of relief. So according to this scholar, a left-leaning scholar, why did it get added in there, these two verses? He speculated that it was added in there because in the early second century, there were some well-meaning Christians that so worshiped Christ as God. They so emphasized his deity, they did so at the expense of his humanity. They had a distorted view of the body. They thought the body was bad. The body was somehow tainted. And so therefore, Jesus only appeared to have a body. He didn't actually have a body. And that's called docetism. And so according to this scholar, a scribe, many years after Luke was written, added these two verses in to prove that he really was human. That's the justification for this. But there is more evidence that these two verses are exactly what Luke intended. There is another manuscript. You didn't know that tonight you would learn a little bit about manuscripts. There's another manuscript almost written at the same time, within maybe two decades of P75. This is P171. And it is in that manuscript. And more than that, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, and Tatian, in around 150 AD, all three commented separately on these two verses, which shows that the tradition goes back even earlier. So there is a stronger case for their authenticity. So who's right? Thankfully, a wonderful church father, born around 300 AD, also weighs in. And he's the linchpin. He gives us the smoking gun. Because what I would argue is the scribes intentionally removed it within 100 years of when Luke wrote his gospel. Some scribes intentionally removed it, and the reason they did makes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ all the more meaning and significant for us. Epiphanius is his name. And he wrote that early scribes intentionally removed the two verses because they were uncomfortable with how these two verses portrayed Jesus. They removed these verses because they were uncomfortable with the anguish of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus. They removed the verses because Jesus seemed too vulnerable, too human. So essentially what they did is they took them out and they looked away because they could not face the anguish and the suffering of Jesus. So these verses were not added later to create theology, they were removed to avoid it, to avoid the visceral suffering of Jesus. It's in there. And you probably know there's a medical condition called hematidrosis, which indicates that under extreme stress and anxiety, it is possible for capillaries near the surface of the skin to burst and cause a human being to sweat blood. I ask you, why did he? Why did Jesus of Nazareth in the Garden of Gethsemane sweat blood? Why here? Why now? He hasn't been arrested yet. He hasn't been whipped or beaten or had a crown of thorns placed on his head. And yet, he's already staggering. He's bleeding here. He's already crying out to the Father. Friends, here is the significant reality about these two verses. This is not a scene of Jesus' helpless humanity. It is a scene of his decision. This is what it all came down to in these moments. This was the very moment that Jesus chose to drink the cup for you and for me. It is the moment that Jesus decided to move forward. And that is precisely why Luke recorded these words. This moment shows the real cost of what Jesus was doing and the choice he was making, the choice he was making for you because he loved you. This was the moment of decision. It all came down to this, and he chose you. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we don't have the words to thank you and praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, ultimately to sit down at your right hand. Father, we cannot imagine the anguish and the pain that he was experiencing that caused him to literally sweat blood. As he prayed, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Father, we know what that cup was a metaphor for. It was a metaphor for the wrath of God, that should he move forward, he would have to drink to the very dregs, every drop to the bottom of that cup. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who put the needs of his bride before his own, who endured unspeakable suffering to rescue and redeem his bride, the church. Father, as we retrace his steps, as we carefully consider Jesus of Nazareth, who he was and who he is and what he did for us, and he would have done it for each of us individually and personally if we were the only person who had ever lived. He would have done this for us. Help us to appreciate on this Good Friday just how good it is. Help us to appreciate the magnitude of the sacrifice of your Son and the magnitude of the sacrifice, Heavenly Father, that you made in handing him over for our sins. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen.